Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
All right, so thanks so much for staying with us. Earlier on today, the DA released a statement saying that they have it on good authority that an extraordinary turn of events, according to the DA, can reveal that President Cyril Ramaphosa has for months been fully aware that his special envoy is not welcome in Washington, D.C. You remember yesterday we spoke to Dr. McNamee, who was giving us a sense of what he believes is happening in Washington, D.C. He is based in Canada but has close proximity to Washington and has been watching what's been happening between Pretoria and Washington. And he says, well, from what he believes is going on there, well, Mr. Jonas is hardly, you know, being given much attention there. So the DA came out with a statement today saying, no, they have it on good authority that, yes, absolutely, that Mr. Jonas is not welcome in Washington, D.C. I'm also going to, we have, by the way, requested Durko to come through. They were not able to join us this evening. Perhaps they'll come on tomorrow. So they didn't say no. They just weren't able to come to us today. But they themselves were very quick in responding, saying, well, actually, said who? That's what really what they were saying. They said, where did the DA get this information? And the president has not asked Mqobisi Jonas to go to Washington. So why would the matter even arise, is how they respond to that. Dr. Oscar van Heerden is a senior research fellow for Africa Diplomacy and Leadership at the University of Johannesburg on the line with us. Dr. van Heerden, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Jonathan. Good evening to your listeners.
Goodness. Okay. What actually is going on with the South Africa's special envoy to the U.S.? What do you know?
Well, I mean, I think what we are having here is what I could call an unofficial narrative and an official one. Mm. The unofficial one is what Derko is claiming, and the presidency with their statement, which is that the DA is making up these stories. Mm. They don't know of any such, because as far as they're concerned, that has not been formally communicated to them as the government. And as a result, we now have this tit for tat, where who do we believe? Do we believe the presidency and Derko, or do we believe the DA? Now, naturally, we know, for example, that the DA does have special relations with certain parts, certain quarters of the U.S. government. Mm. We know, for example, that prior to the elections last year, Premier Alan Mundy went with a delegation to the U.S. Subsequently, there was another delegation that went to the U.S. when we had the so-called white genocide situation. So we do know that the DA does get received, and we would assume received well, and perhaps Emma Powell and others in the DA has got some insider information about the special envoy, Jonas, Mqobisi Jonas. But I think it's all unofficial, because what the presidency is claiming and what Derko is saying is that they have not received any such information about credentials not being accepted. In fact, they say that credentials are not required by special envoys.
So, just from you know, a PR point of view and comms, political comms, the idea that we now have the DA itself publicly sort of tarnishing whatever is going on with the profile of the special envoy, in a way discrediting him right before our eyes and, I suppose, in front of the world. This kind of, these people are part of the GNU. For you, how does this bode for this particular envoy? And, you know, are they setting him up?
Well, this is the interesting part, indeed. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is the interesting question we have to ask. Why is the DA doing this? To what end? Let's assume that the U.S. government is not interested in Mqobisi Jonas, and they don't want to have any interactions with him. And let's assume that they want to treat him perhaps in the same way as Ambassador Rasool was treated. what is vested, what is invested in the DA to then go public and want to tell the world about this and discredit Mitsubishi and indirectly discredit the presidency, because it is also, the statement from the DA is also claiming that the president apparently knew about this long ago, months, and didn't take the nation into confidence and so forth. So I do think that when we try and understand what is at play here, it becomes quite apparent that there is this ongoing battle happening between the ANC and the DA with regards to who determines foreign policy and foreign policy choices. They're not very happy, as you know.
The sacking of Whitfield.
Yes, part of the reason why Whitfield was fired was not only because he didn't have approval for the trip, but also the trip itself was to go and talk negatively about the very government that he is part of. And so this is what is at play here. And you see, even the careful response from the presidency and Turco, you can pick up that there is much more behind this than meets the eye.
Well, I mean, we knew, obviously, that going into the GNU, they have different views on foreign policy and all of that. But I think this is at a critical moment. You know, we are about to go into that very difficult time, unless something happens between now and the 1st of August, where we are going to be seeing that 30% the tariff hikes. We are trying to manage our relationship with the U.S. I'd say the behavior by the DA is unacceptable. I mean, I don't know what you make of this.
No, absolutely. It is as if they don't really have the interest of the country at heart. This is about protecting South African businesses. It is about the agriculture sector, the citrus and the wine industry. It's about the automobile sector. These are all the sectors that hugely benefit from doing business with the United States. And I think it's also important, we must not forget, it's all too easy for the DA to want to point a finger at the ANC government about this 50% tariff, because supposedly because we are involved in BRICS and the kind of choices we make, having relations with China, Russia, and so forth. And that's not the only reason. I think it's important for the listeners to know that certain minority groups from South Africa, including the DA, went to the United States government and requested that the Trump administration do exert punitive measures against us as a country and also individual politicians and so forth. What they don't realize is that by making those demands, we now see the full effect of these tariffs of 30%. And may I also add, we know the United States, it's not the first going to sanction the country. They're not only going to sanction politicians and ANC politicians for that matter. No, it's going to be academics. It's going to be intellectuals. It's going to be people that are in other branches of the government, et cetera, including business people. I mean, you look now, for example, if indeed it is true that they are having this attitude towards Mitsubishi Jonas, then it means that he is a business person, has long left government, and there is now this punitive action being taken against him, if indeed it is true what the DA claims.
So let's just maybe then give them the benefit of the doubt. Politically, what do they have to gain by all of this, the DA?
This is a very, very important question. I think that's where the nub is. What is it that the DA stands to gain? Why is it so important for the DA to be on such good relations with the United States? What is it that the United States has said to them in terms of what they can benefit? These are the questions. And then we must ask, are you then in a GNU with an honest partner, with an honest broker? Because if the DA continues to work against the government of which they are part of, then the question must be asked, to what end do we still have the GNU?
Within their own constituency in the country, you know, how do you think this is going to land?
Well, it can only land negatively, because as we now know, you know, we know, for example, what the 30% tariffs is going to hurt. it's going to be South African businesses, which is predominantly white-owned. I mean, it is the agriculture sector, which is farmers, and so on and so forth. So I just don't understand what is this game that the DA is playing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they agreed to be part of the GNU. They agreed that Ramaphosa must be the president, knowing very well that legislation allows the president to be the face and the voice of South Africa's government in foreign relations. So I don't understand what is going on. I think that the DA needs to do some serious introspection as to what is it, whose bidding are they doing?
Yeah. And so from the presidency's point of view, what then does the presidency do with all of this?
Well, I think what the president must do is that if indeed there is somehow something negative about Tbilisi Jonas, then the president must just come out clear and say, I chose an ambassador. The Trump administration was not happy. I chose a special envoy to fix relations. They also didn't, they were not happy. I'm not sure what more must we do to try and kowtow to the Trump administration, because it is what's happening, and we all know it, is bullying tactics from the United States administration. They don't want to actually have a good trade deal. They want a deal that works for them and for them only. This is what's happening here. It's about this being disruptive and being punitive. And unfortunately, I suspect it's going to get far worse with regards to our relationship with the United States.
Can the president afford to stand up to the U.S.?
I don't think it would be a wise move. But I think everyone will also agree, small as we might be, you also can't just take the bullying and agree to everything that the bully wants, because it is about selling one's sovereignty. Because, I mean, let's just be clear what is being asked of us here. Drop the case against Israel. Two, don't be friends with Iran. Three, don't be chummy-chummy with Russia and China, when China is actually the largest trading partner of the United States and of the European Union. But because it's our number one trading partner, suddenly there's a funny relationship. So it's double standards. And if we agree to any of those things, it means all future decisions that we want to make as an independent sovereign country is not going to be allowed, because you must first get permission from the White House. And I can assure you there is no government that is going to agree to those terms unless they are prepared to be the lapdog of the United States in perpetuity.
Senior Research Fellow for African Diplomacy at and Leadership at UJ, Dr. Oscar van Heerden. Thank you so much for that. A DA spokesperson is on the line with us. Unfortunately, we tried and the line didn't hold very well. Willie Orkam, thank you so much at such a last-minute moment to joining us. Appreciate the fact that you were willing to come on today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Willie, the DA has released a statement talking about the special envoy to the U.S., Tbilisi Jonas, that he's not welcome in Washington, D.C. Give us more details, and what do you know?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. The Democratic Alliance issued a statement yesterday. Emma Powell, our spokesperson on international relations, issued that statement, and in the statement she said that the Democratic Alliance will bring a PIA application to find out what the actions were that Tbilisi Jonas acted out in the U.S. So that statement was issued yesterday. On the back of that statement, we were contacted by senior officials within the United States administration, who then told us that the application for a diplomatic visa by Mr. Tbilisi Jonas has been denied in May already. So that statement yesterday was on the back of 90 days going past whilst he has been appointed by the president as the special envoy. Now, one would have expected that your special envoy, especially in the absence of an ambassador to a country, will be in that country. But Mr. Jonas has not been there, and we found out that he has not been there because the United States refused his diplomatic visa.
So the presidency, you are obviously aware, has released a statement saying that they're condemning what they're calling your disinformation on the matter. And they're saying you're bullying Mr. Mkhubisi Jonas.
Well, if they disagree with us, let them show us Mr. Jonas's diplomatic visa. And let them come and make available the application for that visa. So if we are wrong, then we are wrong. But I can promise you that we are not. The information that we got is sound. Mr. Jonas does not have a diplomatic visa. It has been denied. So if the presidency do not agree with our statement, let them come and show us his diplomatic visa. How can it be that you are the special envoy for a country but not have a diplomatic visa to be in that country? Mr. Jonas has been trying to do whatever he has done, and we don't know what that is, from South Africa. While we've got the situation where tariffs are being imposed on South Africa, we need to have a good relation with the United States. We need to have conversation channels open, and that has not happened because he is not there. So what these U.S. officials has confirmed to us is firstly that his diplomatic visa has been denied. They have also informed us that the U.S. will not formally engage with Mr. Jonas. And they've also asked the presidency to provide an alternative negotiator. Now, for the president to have obviously known about this since May, because it was in May that the visa was rejected, why didn't the president appoint another person as our special envoy there? He could have done that. The United States government will become more frequently frustrated with what we are doing in South Africa because it seems as if we are not serious in addressing the impasse between South Africa and the United States. And we need to do that as a matter of urgency to firstly get the relationship back on track, but to try and get these tariffs that will have a huge detrimental effect on South Africa, to get that out of the way. And without a special envoy and an ambassador there, how are we going to achieve that?
The presidency says you are trying to embarrass Mr. Jonas. Is that what you're trying to do, to embarrass this government?
Not at all. I think it should be the president that is embarrassed due to what has now transpired. If you appoint an ambassador who has then been declared persona non grata, thereafter you appoint a special envoy to whom the country that you appoint that envoy to refuses to give that person a diplomatic visa due to things that were said in the past or whatever the reasons might be. It might be due to his involvement at a company where he is the chairperson of. We all know that he is the chairperson of MTN, and that MTN currently in the United States are under scrutiny for various transgressions, according to them. I don't want to go into that, but the MTN's business ties in Iran have drawn further criticism due to a joint venture with the MTN. So the United States are not happy with that. And if in May already they let the presidency know of that fact, why not appoint another person? This brings us to another point. And really, Pamela, we do not want to belittle anybody. But if you look at the repercussions for South Africa, if these trade tariffs are going to be imposed at the end of this month, it is going to be the poorest of the poor, the farm workers, the people working in car manufacturing factories. They are going to suffer due to the ineffectiveness of the ANC to run international relations. And that brings me to a very important point. It is high time that the ANC must realize that they do not govern alone anymore. Our statement of intent made it very clear that there must be sufficient consensus. And if you look at how international relations are being handled, it is clear that the ANC and President Ramaphosa tries to handle it as if they are governing still alone, but they are not. We need to be involved with each other. We need to have a say and an input into these things. It still remains the prerogative of the president to appoint somebody. But please, Mr. President, appoint somebody that will be accepted by the host nation. You can't appoint somebody that you know will not be accepted.
So you make the point that, you know, you're governing together, you're in the GNU. Why not bring this up internally? Why does this have to be a public spat?
We have brought this up internally on various occasions. The Democratic Alliance obviously signed the statement of intent on the basis that there will be sufficient consensus. We have brought this up in discussions with the ANC that we are not happy that they are handling international relations as if they've got the carte blanche on that. So we are trying to do that. One thing that we should not forget, however, Pamela, is the day that we entered the Government of National Unity, we became part of government. But that did not take our responsibility of proper oversight as members of parliament away from us. So what Emma Powell, as the DA spokesperson on international relations, have done here is she has done proper oversight. She has investigated what is going on. What did Mr. Jonas do? Has he contributed? Are we paying somebody that's not really contributing towards benefiting South Africans? She has done her job as oversight, for oversight on what is happening there. And this now came to light. So if the president and the presidency is not happy with what the DA has now said, mm-hmm. please come and prove the opposite. Please come and prove that your special envoy to the United States, Mr. President, has received a diplomatic visa. Should not be difficult. You can take a screenshot, you can take a photo on your phone and put it on, and we can all see that he has got that. I can promise you now, Pamelo, he does not have that because it has not been approved. It has been denied, and the United States refused to interact with Mr. Jonas as the special envoy.
I do certainly understand where you're coming from when you speak of oversight and, you know, making the point that you need to be engaged with some of these matters and you need to be consulted. I hear what you're saying. What effect, though, do you think what this public spat will mean for what we're trying to do with the U.S.?
Well, it's not a public spat. I think the president turned it into a public spat in his reaction tonight. What the Democratic Alliance have given through yesterday and today in our media statements are facts. What the president has said in his statement are not facts. It's wrong. The president, for example, the presidency in the statement said that the special envoy does not need a diplomatic visa. Mm-hmm. It's simply not true. How can you engage on behalf of a country officially in another country if you do not have a diplomatic visa? You can't go over as a tourist on a tourist visa. You need to have a diplomatic visa. The fact is that the president and the presidency came to know about the refusal of giving Mr. Jonas a diplomatic visa already in May. Why did they hide it? Why not be transparent with the people of South Africa? Tell us what's happening. Replace him with somebody else and give the reasons. But do not hide it, and then when you all get caught out, as has happened now, you try to do blame shift and say that the DA is wrong in how we handled this. It would not have been necessary for the DA to try to get the information if the ANC or if the presidency was up front with us. Mm. So when we said yesterday that we're going, you don't want to give us the answers that we want, we're going to bring a PIA application, then all of a sudden they saw that things are going to happen. So we, as I said, we need somebody that will act in the best interest of all South Africans when you are in the United States. Mm. We cannot have a special envoy trying to do things without being in that country. It just does not make sense. It has never happened before in this country. And to come out and say that, yeah, but my special envoy does not need to be in the United States is simply naive. We need people there on the ground, especially in the absence of an ambassador. And we hope that an ambassador will really be appointed very quickly. We need an ambassador to one of our biggest trading partners in the world, and we need it quickly.
Billy, just before I let you go, is the Democratic Alliance currently engaging Washington?
The Democratic Alliance has been in discussions with Washington over many years. We've built up a very good relationship with Washington, especially in the absence of a relationship between DERCO and the previous ANC government. So the reason that we are getting this information is because of the good relations that we've had. But it is not a parallel thing. We need to be involved. We can use the information and the good relationships that we've got with the United States. We can use that to the advantage, to the benefit of our special envoy there or our ambassador that must be appointed. But we are being kept out of the loop there. The president and the ANC does not want to involve us there. So we are definitely not going to just sideline the good relations that we have built up with Washington over many years. It's important that we have those good relations, and we obviously will use it to the benefit of South Africans, which we have done. The mere fact that we have made public the information that was shared to us by U.S. officials, we should be applauded for that. What should happen here is the country should tell President Ramaphosa that they are not happy with him hiding the fact that he knew since May that the special envoy did not get a diplomatic visa, but that he comes out and said, my special envoy don't need to be there, and give all kind of lame excuses. Mm. South Africans deserve more.
So, since you are engaging Washington as the Democratic Alliance, you've mentioned the fact that, of course, they're not happy with South Africa's relationship with Iran. You've mentioned that. What currently will make the Trump administration happy?
Well, I think, firstly, if we appoint somebody that they will accept and that they will give a visa to, a diplomatic visa to, it is every country's prerogative to decline visas. But I think what would make the Trump administration engage better with South Africa is if we, from our side, also show that we respect them. We had an ambassador. Whether we agree with what he said or not, that is not the question. But he took on this, the president of the country that hosted him as an ambassador. And then he was declared persona non grata. The special envoy that the president then appointed has got several problems. In the past, he also made statements about President Trump, and that's his right. I'm not disputing his right to do that. But I think what is happening is his involvement in this whole MTN debacle with the United States. And we must now look at the facts. And the fact is that we have a special envoy that cannot be in that country. So deal with it. Get somebody that can be there. And open the conversation between us and the United States. But don't hide it. It should never be that we hide things from the people of South Africa. And unfortunately, this is what happened here.
And what I'm getting at is that if we park that for a minute, not to say that it's not important, if we park that for a minute and bring in whoever, you know, will there anything that makes them happy apart from completely changing our foreign policies? You know, we've been told about the Israeli court case that we've got the case that we've got against Israel. They're not happy about that. What else is it that they're looking for from this country?
Well, I think, firstly, as I said, the right attitude towards doing business with them. President Trump, in his letter explaining the tariff increases, said that they want to do business with us. Again, Pamela, this should not be a matter of us agreeing or disagreeing with what President Trump is doing. Mm. That is not what is on the table here. What is on the table is proper diplomatic relations. Whatever the problems are that are currently there cannot be overcome if we do not have people in the United States that can work to solve those problems. What we've got now is we are absent of an ambassador, and we've got a special envoy that cannot be in the country as a diplomat. So that will not work. So let's get people appointed that can serve the interests of South Africa, that can obviously stand up to the United States and to say, we do not agree with X, Y, and Z, and these are the reasons, but that can talk to the United States with credibility, and that they can obviously speak to that person and know that that person is benefiting or trying to benefit his own country, but that that person is also there in a matter of respect for the host country that he is in, and are not embroiled in as the chairperson of a company that is embroiled in serious legal actions in U.S. courts under the Anti-Terrorism Act. I mean, the primary lawsuit alleges that the group violated anti-terrorism laws by providing support to militant groups in Afghanistan, including the Taliban. Now the chairperson of that company is the special envoy to the United States. That will never be accepted.
All right. Now that I have you here, I have to quickly ask you, obviously you must have seen the appointment by the presidency of Minister Gwadimandashe as now the acting police minister this evening, obviously on the back of an appointment of Feroz Khachalia as well, who's going to be coming in on the 1st of August. Your reaction as a DA, please.
Well, it's the president's prerogative to appoint from his cabinet an acting minister, and that is what he has done now with Minister Gwadimandashe. He's going to be acting in this position for 2 weeks. He will also still be the Minister of Mineral and Petroleum, so he will wear both hats for the 2 weeks. We hope that the new appointed minister will come in and will do a good job. He will get our support in doing that. We need a minister that will not do and make decisions out of fear or favor, but that will make decisions based on what is in the best interest of the country. So we wish Minister Mandashe all of the best for the 2 weeks that he's going to be there, and we will support both him and Minister Khachalia when he gets sworn in as minister.
The announcement of the leave of absence announced earlier on by the National Commissioner of Shadrack Zibia.
Yeah, well, that happened this afternoon. I was sitting in Parliament, so when I read about that, I think that is a good thing. I think it is good that they've asked him to stand down whilst these things are ongoing. You will know that the neither the president nor the minister has got the authority to suspend people in the police. They cannot do that. Mm-hmm. They cannot tell a commissioner or deputy commissioner to stand down. That is the police structures that can do that, and that is what happened today. So we will support that. I think it's a good thing, and we must now hope that this commission of inquiry, or judicial commission that has been established by the president, will do its work swiftly. We cannot wait months on end to get to the bottom of what's going on. This really threatens our national security, and we need, as South Africans, to get these answers, but we need to get them very quickly.
Really welcome. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening. He's a DA spokesperson.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.